All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who is ready to compete at Unified MMA 50, and that is set to transpire on March the 31st. We have a 175-pound championship fight on the card as Ryan Ford defends his title against Faye Brousseau, and happy to have Ryan on the show. How's your day going so far, man?
One section's been put in, now it's back to family, dad life, and then back to the gym again in the evening.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear, and I was just seeing a bit before this interview on Unified MMA's Instagram account that this is going to be, the last dance in the MMA cage and, the final time defending this title. How does, this all feel? Is it sort of something you're going to try to, more so think of and soak in after the fact? What's the, sentiment heading into this last one?
I got a job to do, and that's, defend my title. So, Faye Brousseau is on my mind every day from the moment I get up till I go to bed. There's one job that I got to get done, and it's entertain the fans and the people watching worldwide, and, do what I do. Keep it real when I step in the cage.
Yeah, and I definitely want to talk more about this particular fight, but just curious about the feelings on the general MMA return, because it had been about 7 years away, and you got two strong wins in 2022, one submission and a striking-based finish. How would you, assess the return to mixed martial arts? Because from my perspective, it seems to be a, really strong return.
Oh, yeah, I was itching the last 7 years just boxing, MMA is a different type of fight, and, I can't get that fight when I was boxing, so, I had to make the return, showed up, fought Dwan Pickney, thought it was going to be a striking match, with all his fights, and ended up turning into a grappling match, which, I had no problem, and after 7 years of straight stand-up boxing, I finished him with the triangle, and then, got offered the title fight against Robert Hale, a young kid, up-and-comer, who's, he ran his mouth a little bit too much, he bit off a little bit too much he could chew, and, I had to show him this is what the real deal does. And, it's been a blast, coming back to MMA, but, on the 31st, Unified 50, it's going to be the last dance for the real deal in the cage.
And I guess I'm curious, you did mention how active you were as a pro boxer while not in mixed martial arts. Is this last dance going to then segue into you, taking more pro boxing bouts? Is that the plan?
Yeah, that's the plan. For me, it's, I turned 41 yesterday, so the time isn't on my side, and I believe MMA is more for, it's for the younger guys, with the grappling and the wrestling, and that's, I just feel that this last go, I'm busting my ass, putting my body through all the things that need to be done, and, I'm going to give it one more go, and obviously, in my mind, I'm ending on a high note, with my hands being raised and that belt strapped around my waist. On the sidelines and watch the MMA fights, but I am still going to continue to box.
Well, that's awesome to hear. I'd kind of figured that was the case, but yeah, just thought to ask. And yeah, that was a great last performance. You talk about the banter and stuff like that, and how it wasn't necessarily, in the MMA Empire article that I'm citing here, it didn't seem like something that was initially phasing you, but at the same time, it's like, oh yeah, he bit off a little more than he could chew. How would you, assess that last one overall? What was that performance like? And also just winning the title as well.
Oh, it was beautiful. When a guy talks, I'm a veteran in this game. I've been around, and when you talk too much, sometimes it's really hard to back that talk up. So for me, I always say I talk with my fists, my elbows, my knees, my kicks. And, that's how I talk, I am very confident when I'm going in a fight because, I do put the work in, I sacrifice, I dedicate myself to the sport. So, there's a difference between being cocky and they cocky. And Robert Hale was a little too cocky, especially fighting a guy on my level that he's never faced before. But, you know, I'm pretty sure he learned from his last lesson. And, you know, on to the next.
Yeah, for sure. And in speaking about that, on to the next, like, I'm curious about your general thoughts on Faye Burrell, like, in terms of, like, I guess his better stylistic attributes from what you may have seen. Like, what do you think he really does well in the cage?
Yeah, you know, we've watched a few of his fights. You know, he's an all-round fighter. He likes to stand, which, you know, I have no problem with that. And you know, if it goes to the ground, I'm ready. I'm there too. So you know what? He's a good challenge coming up. You know, he's an up and comer, and you know, he's coming to fight. You know, guys don't just take a fight against Ryan Ford and you know think it's going to be easy, except for the last guy. But you know, I'm pretty sure Faye has done his homework. He knows that you know when I step in the cage, it's for real. There's no you know, it's not. There's no lay down or anything. It's time to get down, and, you know, the best man will win.
Yeah, and I guess, like, specific to, like, some of his recent performances, because, I mean, he's fought on some, I guess, notable circuits, like Uriah Faber's A1 Combat, and he seems like he kind of started on that cage sport circuit, but he got a good win in the last outing against Ali Charkey under the, you know, unified banner, like, a pretty promising prospect. Like, I guess, what are your thoughts on, like, some of his more recent performances that may have been within the tape study you're doing?
Yeah, they're, you know, it's decent. I watched the fight with him and Charkey. You know, it's more of a holding match than anything. But, yeah, you know, you can't really tell the way he fights in his last fight because, you know, he wasn't really able to fight. So, you know, I know he's coming to fight me. You know, I can watch as much game film, like I say to everybody else. They can watch as much fight film as they want on me. The thing is, though, when I fight you, it's a whole different thing than you watching a fight on me. You know, I may do one thing with one guy, but when I fight you, it's going to be totally different. You're not the same person standing in front of me that the fight that you're watching. So, you know, I got to be worried of everything that Faye brings. You know, this is not an easy fight by far. You know, he's coming, he's traveling here, he's stepping in the cage, and he's fighting me. So, you know, you know that he's training and being ready.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to agree, definitely a very stiff test, especially, you know, in this situation, definitely not a situation to be taking lightly by any means. But I guess I'm kind of bouncing back and forth between certain topics here because, I mean, you've obviously done so much. But one thing I, you know, especially wanted to address was, like, I guess just the history of, like, Edmonton boxers. And it seems like for a while that's been of, like, paramount importance for you to be, I guess, like a featured name kind of within that tradition, like, especially, like, your father being a former Canadian lightweight champion and everything. Like, how much, I guess, esteem does that give you, and how much does that, you know, motivate and drive you to be one of the more known, I guess, Edmonton born and raised fighters?
Yeah, well, you know what, I'm going to put it as it is and how I see it. I'm Edmonton's king of combat. No matter what sport it is, boxing, MMA, you name it, I'm the king when it comes to talk about fighting coming out of Edmonton and Alberta. You know, I may not have fought in the UFC. I may have, you know, but the thing is everybody around the world knows who I am from my fighting, whether it's boxing or mixed martial arts. And I built my name and I built this city up in MMA, starting from MMA, from the ground up. And, you know, I switched over and I was able to do the same thing for boxing, which is very hard for a lot of people to do. So, you know, to be, there are a lot of greats here that have come out of Edmonton, you know, before my time. But I believe, you know, to this day, I am Edmonton's King of Combat.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, classic fighters, like Scotty the Bulldog Olsen and Ken LaCusta. I've seen them referenced in that kind of tradition, and like you're saying, very much interwoven into that. And I guess another thing I wanted to touch on, because, like, this is kind of interesting now, just with this having been October 2018, but we were talking in Edmonton at the Unified MMA 34 card and everything, and you were discussing the potential for some future bare knuckle boxing bouts. Is that still something on your radar?
The bare knuckle's on my bucket list. You know, and I had to pay because, you know, it wasn't in the ring or in a cage. So, is definitely on my bucket list. When I'm retired from boxing, you catch me 100% in that bare knuckle cage or bare knuckle ring. And I gotta go out with one at least and get paid for it.
I was actually relatively recently talking to BKFC figurehead David Feldman, and he was talking about the desire to want to expand into Canada, and I was kind of intimating that it would probably be in Alberta initially, if anywhere, and he seemed to kind of wryly smile. He didn't necessarily like overtly agree, but it seemed like that was kind of where it was going. Like, that's where they'd kind of encroach into in their, you know, Canada run, and even went as far as saying it could be the company's like number two market. Like, what are your feelings on all that?
Oh, 100%. You know, well, me and David Feldman are friends on Facebook, and we've had a chat a few times. So, I don't know if you remember, but I think it was maybe about a year ago before Julian Lane and Mike Perry fought. I had Mike Perry fished in and had him going, and then obviously Julian Lane started the whole beef at the BKB event and kind of, you know, cut that line from Mike Perry being on my line. So, but, you know, I'm definitely I'm going to get in there, and, you know, it's bare knuckle. So, you know, I want to fight whoever they got to fight, and whoever's making that money, that's who I want to fight.
That's very interesting. So there were tentative talks to fight Mike Perry in his debut in BKFC.
Yeah, we were, you know, like if you saw, we were going back and forth, you know, I was trying to reel that fight in, you know, and we had it on the line, and then, you know, that whole little beef started. So, yeah, you know, it's good. You know, I know a few people who fought in the BKFC, and, you know, I've got the connections and stuff. So when it comes that time, you know, and I'm ready to, you know, hit that bucket list, you know, we'll be in that cage throwing the bare knuckles.
Yeah, I'd seen a bit of that on social media, but didn't know how much traction that may have had. So, I mean, that's definitely exciting, and the connections are, you know, very cool too. But in kind of like, I guess, realigning the focus to MMA, I'm curious to, like, get your perspectives on this, because you were such a big part of MFC and played such a foundational role in, like, what, through a certain stretch, was, like, the big show in Canada, and just that being centric in Edmonton. It seems like, in its own way, as much as it's its own unique entity, like, Unified MMA seems to kind of be carrying that torch today. Is that kind of a characterization you agree with, too?
Oh, yeah, 100% Unified is carrying the torch. You know, there is no other MMA organizations. You know, we used to have, like, I believe it was maybe five or six going at one time, and now there's just Unified. So, you know, and Sonny, he puts on a good show. You know, the production, you know, UFC Fight Pass, it gives these young fighters that are coming up a platform to show their skills and, you know, and take it to, you know, as far as they want to take it.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess as you're kind of readying to get into this final mixed martial arts fight, and it being within, you know, that area, like Enoch being adjacent to, you know, Edmonton, and so many big memories throughout your career. I mean, like, winning that World Series of Fighting Canada belt, like AFC, TFC titles, I mean, could really go on. I mentioned the MFC legacy. Like, are there particular memories that really, like, stand out for you in, like, an MMA context as you kind of ready for this final throwdown?
Man, just everything's coming back, you know, everything's coming back from the first fight, you know, to, you know, throughout my whole career, you know, it's every day, you know, I see just stories that keep coming up on my feeds from, you know, fights from back in MFC when I fought Pat Healy, from back in MFC when I fought Pete Spratt, you know, it's Douglas Lima, you know, these, I fought the best guys, you know, in 170 pounds, and, you know, it's just all these memories coming back that, you know, it's you know, getting in that cage for the last time. You know, I'm going to leave it all in the cage. That's the thing with me is when I get in there, I leave it all in there. You know, I'm not When I walk out that cage, I'm never ever second guessing myself. You know, I could have did more. I could have did this. When I go out there, you know, I make sure that I train so that when I get in there, I leave it all in there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, your track record definitely speaks for itself. As you've said, you've fought a lot of really, you know, top-notch combatants across multiple sports, to say the least. And, you know, kind of in line with that, like, you've been talking about how you want to do a bit more gloved boxing, and then when that wraps up, you'll kind of transition to bare knuckle. Like, what kind of goals and, I guess, broader aspirations do you still have in gloved boxing as you look to kind of transition more, like, in that direction going forward?
Well, you know, I'm 41 years old now, so it's for me, it's right now, I want to, you know, my career is, you know, starting to taper off a bit. You know, people always ask, you know, when are you going to completely stop fighting? And, you know, my answer always is when I wake up in the morning and I do not have that motivation to go to the gym and train. And when I do have a fight, people don't understand there's a difference between going to the gym and just training as your lifestyle and a fight camp. You know, once that fight camp gets too rigorous and too hard for my body to handle, that's the time that, you know, I'm going to be like, hey, it's about time, you know, because you see a lot of these fighters, they go a little too far. And when they go too far, you know, we don't just get fired from a job. You get knocked out, you know, you get hurt. So, you know, I'm smart. I know what I'm doing. I know how to listen to my body. And, I want to make some money, and I love to fight. So whoever want it can get it. If it makes dollars, it makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And you're still getting in some elite, you know, work, obviously, like Artur Beterbiev. I understand you were able to share some rounds there. So, yeah, I mean, still very much in there with, like, some just absolute killers. But in that kind of context, like, I'm curious about, like, some of the TriStar dorm stories from, like, the early 2010s. Like, it seemed like there was, like, you know, some good laughs had back in the day with, like, the, you know, TriStar rap and stuff like that. Like, what are some standout, like, dorm stories you have that you can, you know, tell on the show, I guess?
Oh man, where do we come from there? Man, that whole time being over there at TriStar dorms was just, it was just a different life, you know? Like, people don't understand, like, when people dedicate themselves, sacrifice, and live, eat, and breathe fighting. You know, we're in a dorm where your mom ain't there to clean up after you. You got to do your dishes. You got to, like, it wasn't a nice place. Like, you know, when I brought my wife and my kids out there the last time that we were in Montreal, and just to this day, just to show them the dorms, and they're like, you slept here, like, you know? But, you know, that's the thing is people don't understand that the sacrifices that, you know, I've made, you know, being away from my family and, you know, the dedication of getting up when you're sore and still going to the gym and putting in that work, it's, you know, people only see the red carpet walk of the fight, you know, they don't see that the blood, the sweat, the tears. Sometimes you're back in your room and you're just like, man, you know, like, when is it going to get easier? And, you know, they don't understand that it is a grind, and most people cannot take this type of grind.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of great insights for sure, and I mean, such a unique space, just like the actual physical proximity to the training space and stuff like that, but I mean, that is a very, you know, genuine reality that's part of that, you know what I mean? Just like the sacrifices that are made, and yeah, people just really see the final, like, polished product and everything.
Yeah, and like, you know, and especially being at the dorms, you know, we have people coming from all over the world. Like, you know, we had all the guys come down from South Africa that fought in EFC. So you see these guys, they're a different type of style of fighting because, you know, sometimes the technique's not there, but they're violent people. You know, then you get, you know, I've been to Thailand, trained in Thailand, you know, I trained with Hooker, Brad Cordell. I train with all those guys in Thailand. And then you get the Russians that come over there. You know, you see that different type of style of fighting. And, you know, just being around, to get around and train with all the best, the top people. Like, you know, when I was at TriStar, when you know, my last four fights at MMA were at the same time that George had his last four fights. And it was either I was fighting a week before or he was fighting a week before or after. So, like, every time that I'm on the mat, you're on the mat with 40 killers. And, like, John Danahar come down with his kill squad from New York, there'd be, like, 20 black belts on the floor, you know? And it's just like, you're getting better. Like, yeah, you may not be doing good, but iron sharpens iron. And, you know, just rolling with these guys. Top guys back when I was in training at TriStar, like Braulio Estima, Murilo Santana, these guys, the jiu-jitsu was just on another level. And, like, you know, people are always like, oh, Ryan is jiu-jitsu suspect. You don't understand. I know jiu-jitsu, especially now. Like, I get back in the gym and, you know, I'm starting rolling again and, you know, rolling with the guys who do this every day. And they're like, bro, it just comes back. And I'm like, it's just like riding a bike with everything. You know, when you do something for many years over and over and over and over and over again, it becomes instinct.
Yeah, absolutely. And I very much appreciate the depth of insight and just really making the time in general. But that being said, I also want to be mindful of your schedule too, man. So to that point, is there any parting final thought you might want to add as we're wrapping up here?
No, you know what? I just want to say thanks a lot for having me on the show. You know, anybody who hasn't gotten their tickets, you should get your tickets now, because I'm pretty sure that it'll probably be sold out this week. You know, thanks to everybody out there who supports me. And, you know, and like I say all the time too, and everybody out there who hates me too, hey, keep hating. I love it, because, you know, my haters are my motivators. You know, it is what it is. Not everybody's going to like you, but at the end of the day, they're still going to watch you.
And they can do that on UFC Fight Pass if they're not in the Enoch, Alberta / Edmonton adjacent area. And they can do so on March 31st. And yeah, thanks so much for making time to talk ahead of, you know, the last fight and everything, man. And just, you have a good rest of your day, and looking forward to checking out the fight when it goes down.
Thanks a lot, brother. Thank you for having me.